Good morning. I just want to start off by saying thank you for being willing to adjust your schedule a little bit. I know that putting worship before Sunday school for Southern Baptists is a little bit like someone asking you to say your ABCs backwards. You're a little embarrassed about how difficult that actually is and a little perturbed that you're being asked to do it. And that's a little bit of the way worship before Sunday school is for us. It's different. But there's a method behind our madness. I know some of you had to get up earlier to be here because you don't get to Sunday school on time. I know that's true in our house. But the reason is that we're starting a stewardship series this morning that is going to be 5 weeks, not counting next week, which is Easter. And what we're doing is, what we're going to be doing in here is going to influence what we do in Sunday school. And so it's important that we needed to be here together first. And so everybody's going to be talking about the same thing as we get into Sunday school. And I can already hear you now, great, stewardship series. The church must need money. So we're talking about money again. Well, does the Bible, as the Bible presents generous living, is it just talking about the importance of giving money away? No, it's not. The reason the Bible talks about generosity for believers is because God wants godly Christians. God wants godly children. And so often, our hearts are not like His. He wants our hearts to be like His heart. And when we look at our hearts, we realize, well, they're not necessarily like His heart. Luke chapter 12, verse 34 says, "For where your treasure is," Jesus said, "where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So what does that say? That's telling us that our treasure and our heart are linked together. We might say it like this, that our priorities and our hearts are linked together. What we prioritize and what we cherish are very closely tied together. Because what we cherish in life, what we hold as valuable, are the things that we prioritize. And so today I want to call this message, which is much more topical than what I would usually preach, the heart and the gift. One thing unique about this series of messages and this series called Living Generously is that it has a movie component to it. And so some video clips component to it. So turn to the screen and we're going to watch about a 6 or 7 minute clip as we get started.
Solid plan here, Frank. Got all your bases covered there.
Good. Do you have that workup from last week?
Oh, yeah. Got that right here. Here it is. College, retirement, you name it. Bottom of column C is your total net present value. Cover every expense for life. Stay on track. I'd say that's a realistic goal there.
Oh, well, let's take that and double it.
Double it?
To be safe.
You're the boss. New toy?
Favorite toy. It's an old vintage biplane, probably worth a fortune at an auction, but I can't get him to put it down.
We'd mentioned talking through a charitable giving plan.
Oh, right. Put that on the list for next week.
Will do.
Thanks again for all your hard work.
Hey, no need to show me out. I know my way. You enjoy the pool.
Yeah. Bye, Cassie.
Hold on just a second. Goodbye, Alan. No, I think that's a great idea. They're going to love it. We would be happy to do it, Janice. Okay, see you then.
She's still hounding you to that thing tonight?
That thing would be welcoming back the Davises after 3 years in the Philippines. And no, we're not going to that thing tonight.
We're not.
I said that we could host it here.
Cassie.
Frank.
What is wrong with Janice's house?
If you'll excuse me, I've got a caterer to call.
Hey,
looks delicious.
What are those for?
These are some clothes for Lindsay. Janice said that they had to leave almost everything behind. You should pull out some stuff for Chris.
You send him a support check every month. Wait, are we done doing that then?
Ray, you didn't have to do that.
Oh, glad to do it, Miss Donovan. You know, we had a family at our church lost their house on a fire. We had to get together for them, too. Blessed every one of us.
Mom, the Davises have kids, right?
Just one. A boy about Evan's age. Tristan, I think.
So now we got kids coming, too?
Just theirs and ours.
Yeah, now. It looks like it could just fly right off the page. Zoom!
Nice. Why are you bringing stuff in? That's not your job.
No, I just want to.
Why?
Can I show you something? Yeah, a long time ago, God's people used to sacrifice sheep to show how much they loved him. Right? You know, some folk would give him the best of the best. Right? Big and healthy and white as snow. But some of the folk didn't want to give up the good sheep. So they would give God their skinny, sick, and spotty, and stinky sheep. Yeah. Which sacrifice do you think would make God happier?
The good sheep.
Yeah, you got it. So, you know, I don't have to carry stuff in and all that, but I just don't want to give God any stinky sheep.
What are you doing, Dad?
I'm looking for something to give the Davises. They just got back from the Philippines and they don't have much.
Mom told me to tell you that they're here.
Okay.
Well, it has been so long, and we are so happy to have you guys back, right? We'll be right back because I want to bring you to see Janice. Come on.
Thanks again for hosting this, Frank. It's very generous of you.
Don't mention it. How are you guys settling in?
We're getting there. Tristan here has been quite a trooper.
Hey, I wanted to,
Hi, I'm Evan.
Hi.
My mom said you didn't get to take any toys back with you.
We didn't have room.
Do you like airplanes?
Yeah.
This one's pretty neat. You can have it if you want it.
Thanks.
Wanna go play?
Go on. Wow. You must be so proud of him.
Yeah. Would you... Excuse me, please.
My mom said you didn't get to take any toys back with you.
We didn't have room.
Do you like airplanes?
Yeah.
This one's pretty neat. You can have it if you want it.
All right. So we see there a struggle, don't we? A struggle with giving as God wants us to give. And I think to some degree we all struggle with generosity. And the reason I know that is because we all struggle with sinful hearts. And our sin nature, that thing that we're born with, that we're going to struggle with, affects every aspect of our life, certainly our generosity. So I want us to look at two actions of a sinful heart and how that affects generosity, first of all here. Two actions of a sinful heart. First, a sinful heart prevents sacrificial giving. Our sinful hearts prevent giving sacrificially. What should be our priorities in life? Well, our priorities should be the same priorities as God. And God, what did He tell us in terms of what we should prioritize? Two main things, two big picture priorities that should drive every decision we make, everything we do. Matthew 22, 34 through 39. But when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question to test Him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to look at that. I want to ask you something. Does that passage say anything about money? It doesn't. Why not? Because God's focus for His children is not money. God, what God wants us to give is more valuable than money. It's love. That He wants us to have a heart like His. He wants us to love like He does. He wants us to love sacrificially. But we struggle with loving like God does because God loves. God loves to an extent that our minds can't fathom. God loves sacrificially. I mean, we call the gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16, right? It says, for God so loved the world that He gave. And what did He give? He just didn't give some of His time. He just didn't give some of His resources. He gave Himself. He gave His Son, that whoever believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And it's not that we as believers don't love. It's not that we don't do that. Certainly we love. The problem is that we like to put parameters around our love. We like to define what love is in our own terms. We see that with the husband on video here, Frank. He's struggling with loving. He's struggling with generosity. But it's not that he doesn't love. I mean, look, he loves his family. He's a successful businessman. He works hard. He provides for his family a tremendous lifestyle. So he's doing well in light of those terms. The problem is that his love can't get outside of his little parameter, his little castle, his little kingdom. But his family's starting to get a little bit more. You see Cassie, who reminds him that we're giving that support check to the missionaries, and you see Evan, the son who has that sacrificial heart. We're going to deal with that in just a second. But why is Frank struggling? He's struggling with sacrificial giving because sacrificial giving is uncomfortable giving. Think about that for a moment. Sacrificial giving is uncomfortable. It's outside of our comfort zone. It's stretching us. It's pushing us. It's causing us to give up something of great value to us. Quite frankly, it's giving up something that we want to keep. Because there's something about holding on to that thing that we want to keep that is giving us security, that's giving us a sense of well-being. That's, if I give up that thing, then I'm going to miss that thing. And so it's providing some type of something for you that giving it up is causing you to feel vulnerable. It's providing a security that really we should only be trusting in God for. So I think when we think about generosity and living generously, I think the question often comes to our mind, well, if I give this away, how is this going to be good for me? Everything. All right, if I do this, how is this going to be good for me? How is this going to be good for my family? How is this going to be good for me? And that's the wrong question. As children of God, the question we should be asking is, how does God want to use me? How does God want to use my family? How does God want to use the resources that He's pouring through me? What is God wanting to do through me? Because the fact is, we all have something great to offer God. God has given us resources. God has given us abilities, time, talent. We all, to use the illustration that they use in the little movie, we all have sheep. We all have sheep to give. We all have things that God wants us to sacrifice back to Him. When we look at that Evan had that airplane. Frank had watches. Ray had his time and his service, the gardener. We all have sheep. So the question is, what kind of sheep are we giving? Are we giving healthy sheep? Are we giving sickly sheep? Are we giving sheep at all? Well, a thought that came through my mind here is some people think, well, what we give to God really is a reflection of what we have to give to God. And that's just not true. What we give to God is not a reflection of what we have to give. What we give to God is a reflection of how we view God. What we give to God is a reflection of what we believe about God. Is God worthy of our gifts? Is He worthy of our time? Is He worthy of our resources? Is He the sovereign God of the universe who created all things for His glory? Is He the God who gave His Son to become our sin so that we, who are sinners, could become the righteousness of God? Is that the God that we serve? Is that the God that we're given to? And the thing is, the way we give to that God says something about who we believe that God is. So we say, well, I believe all that. Well, look at what you're giving in terms of your life and your resources and your thoughts and all of that. Are they matching up? But A.W. Tozer said, one of his most powerful quotes, he says, what comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about us. Low views of God destroy the gospel for all who hold them. What you think about God is going to impact everything that you do. How you live, how you think, how you give, how you love others. So I want to ask you, how do you view God? And I want to ask you this. What does your giving say and your loving say about how you view God? And are they the same? Because our sinful hearts affect the way we view God. And thus they affect sacrificial giving. Second action of a sinful heart also produces half-hearted devotion. You look in the Old Testament, there's no question that God asks His people for their best. One of the examples in Leviticus 22, 19 and 20, we see the qualifications of what kind of sacrifice can be given. It says, if it is to be accepted for you, it shall be a male without blemish. Of the bulls, or of the sheep, or the goats, you shall not offer anything that has a blemish, for it will not be acceptable for you. So in other words, God says, don't give me your junk. Don't give me just the stuff that you don't want. Don't give me, like, okay, I've got to give to God, so let me go rummaging through my drawers and see the stuff that I can deem acceptable to give away. Okay. God doesn't want second best. It's tempting to want to give God what we don't really want. We see that early on in the scripture, even in the first siblings, Cain and Abel. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, we see the first offering given. It says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord, notice this, an offering of fruit of the fruit of the ground. So Cain's he's a farmer, he's working the ground. And he comes back and he offers an offering. But Abel does something different. Now, he's not a farmer that works the ground. He has sheep, animals. It says, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. In other words, he didn't just bring a sacrifice. He brought the firstborn of his flock and then also their fat portions. And so in response to that, it says, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but Cain and his offering he had no regard. Why? Because Cain wanted to give away what he didn't want, just an offering, the second best. It was, but Abel said, the very best that I have, I'm putting forward. I know when we don't have a company over too much in our home anymore, but I'll tell you this, we have crystal and a plateware waiting for company to show up. Now, when it comes to what we just eat, I mean, we a lot of times we'll eat out of pizza boxes and the such and on. I don't eat on styrofoam, but We'll eat on plastic from time to time, that kind of thing. Oh, but if any of you come over, now we got to clean the house up. Now we've got to set the table just right. Now we get the fine china down and everything. Because what we're going to offer you, we're going to try to show our very best. Now, I know none of y'all do that type of stuff, but we do. And what God says is, look, when I'm coming over, I don't want to eat out of a pizza box. When I'm coming over, I don't want to eat off styrofoam. And by the way, if I come to your house, I don't want to eat off styrofoam either. But God says, when I'm coming in your house, when I come in your life, I created you. You were made for my glory, and I want the world to see the treasure that I am in your heart. And so you give your best to God. I'll give you a life truth here. I haven't done one of these in a while. If your gift doesn't have value to you, then it probably doesn't have value to God. You say, well, wait a minute. God can't use this thing that I'm given? No, what I'm saying is this. That thing you're given, God doesn't need. God doesn't need your second best. God doesn't need anything. All right? The reason I say if it doesn't have value to you, it doesn't have value to God, is because the very purpose that God is asking it from you is because it has value to you. Because God wants your heart. And God wants to see and for you to see that you treasure God more than you treasure these other things that he's given you. That he is the utmost of your affections. That he is the glory of your soul. That he is the one you treasure above all things. He said, where you treasure is there your heart will be. In our movie we saw Frank. Frank wanted to give an old watch because it wasn't valuable to him. An old watch. When it came to being asked about that charitable giving plan, what did he say? He said, let's talk about that later. Why? Because quite frankly, that's an example of a man who doesn't have God's priorities. He doesn't have God's heart. And it's an example of us too many times when we don't have the heart of God in the priorities of our lives. And it's a dangerous thing because if we don't have God's heart, if we don't prioritize the things of God, then we're going to miss a lot of what God wanted to use us for in this world. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in God, in Christ Jesus for what? To work hard and provide a good living for our families and to, well, okay, that's part of it, no doubt. But we're here for good works. We're here for works that reflect the glory of God. And what does God do? He says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. In other words, he's prepared those things. Those things are already out in front of you. You've got opportunities that God has prepared already for you today. You've got opportunities that God has prepared already for you this week and this month and this year and for the rest of your life. God has gone forward within his framework and his priorities, and he's created his children, he's created you, he saved you so that you could work in a way and have his priorities such that you will glorify him. But if we are more focused about the things that we value and valuing our priorities more than we value God's priorities, guess what? We're going to completely overlook or put off the very things that God created us to accomplish. The quickest way to waste your life is to create priorities that aren't God's for yourselves. And that's exactly what a sinful heart will do. Well, I got good news for you. Do you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ says that Jesus Christ came not just to change your life, but to change your heart? That Jesus Christ came to take an old stony heart and replace it with a heart of flesh. To replace it with the things that God cares about. That Jesus Christ went to the cross, as we sang just a moment ago, and he just didn't die for your sin. He became your sin. And he bore it. And he did away with it. He paid its price for you. So that we could become his righteousness. We don't have to be the same old stingy people we were born. Right? We can live out godliness. And so the action of a godly heart, very quickly. A godly heart produces a change in priorities. A change in priorities. In our movie we see some changing priorities. We see Ray again, that gardener. He gave his service. It didn't matter. It wasn't his job. He didn't care. We see Cassie, who's the wife, and says, hey, look, we have missionary friends. We need to reach out. We need to bless them. We see Evan, who gave away, he's a child, who gave away a toy plane that meant everything to him. And it was a toy plane that couldn't be replaced by money. And yet he gave it away. When I watched that, the first thing I thought about was, man, you know, children can be absolutely remarkable. Children can teach parents a lot of time. Now, I want to be clear. Children are born sinners too. And if you've ever broken up a fight amongst siblings over a toy, you understand the little devils those rascals can be. I get that. But there are times that children blow us away because they do things that we would never think about doing. I have seen children see a need in somebody's life and then want to immediately give all of their birthday money away. And then what happens? Usually a parent comes along and says, oh, no, we can't do that. I mean, we can give a little bit, but let's be reasonable here. Where does that come from? I mean, where does that kind of go? He has a need and I have something to meet that need. Let's just meet that. Where does that come from? It comes from childlike faith. It comes from seeing a glimpse of God's goodness that sometimes we forget as adults, as the world makes us more and more jaded. Matthew 19:14 says, let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. And I don't know all that passage means. There's a lot been written on that. But I think it has something to do with the uniqueness that we see in children. Of course, we see an example of the same type of giving in an older person too. A widow is in the temple, Mark 12:40-41 and following. He sat down opposite the treasury, that's Jesus, and he watched the people putting money in the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and this poor widow came and she put in two small copper coins, which make a penny, just nothing. But he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all who are contributing to the offering box. She's put in more than everybody else, which sounds extremely strange because they have put a lot more money in, but Jesus says she put more in. So you know what he's not talking about? He's not talking about money. And then he explains it, verse 44. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty. She's put in everything she had, all that she had to live on. So I want to ask you, what's remarkable about her? Is it because she gave a little token gift? No. It's because she gave out of her poverty all she had. You know, one Christian author said, the amount of an offering is not measured by how much you give. It's measured by how much you have left after you give. And she gave it all, everything she had. And, you know, how different, what do we see on that little film? Frank gave a little, was going to give a little token watch out of his abundance. But here you had Evan, he had one treasure plane and he gave what he had out of childlike faith. Here's Frank, he's got all that he has and the financial advisor sits down and says, all right, we got a plan here that you'll have every need that you ever could possibly have met. He says, all right, let's double it. Why would you double? What do you need to save more than meeting every need you could possibly have? Well, what's the point of that little clip? It's to show that his heart is in his own kingdom instead of God's kingdom. And I'm afraid that we get like that too. We got to say, I've got to account for every conceivable scenario that could possibly tear down my kingdom. Can I tell you this? Live for the glory of God. God's already got it covered. He's already got it covered. Now, we're not saying that you shouldn't have financial responsibility and save and have a good financial advisor and all those kind of things. Of course you should. The Bible is full of principles of using proper finances and saving wisely and all of that. What I'm simply saying is that your savings should never be your God. Your savings should never be your security. Your savings should never be your treasure. God should be. And the way we use our finances reveals whether he is or not. At the very end, we see God starting to work in Frank's life. He's standing alone. You see his house in the background. His watch. Better watch. And he's just standing there in his conviction. Not sure exactly what he's going to do. We're going to see that a little later on. The question is what are we going to do? Are we going to live lives for the glory of God? Are we going to live lives to build greater kingdoms for ourselves? What does God want? I guess is even a more important question. And the answer is this: God, listen to me. God wants faith. It's what he wants. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Impossible to please him. He wants faith. And so I don't want you coming here, especially if you're not a believer here this morning, thinking, all right, what is God asking for? He's asking me all this stuff that I've got to give. That is true. God is asking you. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. All right? So he is asking for it all. But he's not saying that you can earn his grace by giving it. He's saying you got to come to him like a child. Saying, I'm broken. I'm a sinner. I cannot fix myself. But Jesus, you have borne my sin. Jesus, you have been resurrected again, and I need what you have. I need forgiveness. I need life. I need mending. I need redemption. I need a new heart. I need you to change my heart. And when you meet the God of the gospel, then you meet the God who produces a heart that wants to live for his glory. Now, my prayer is that that's you this morning. That as a believer, you would want to live for his glory. And if you're lost here today, then right now I encourage you to turn to him and say, God, would you do a work in me I can never do on my own? Would you pray with me? Father, we do come to you asking you to work. Lord, asking you to meet us in our struggle, meet us in our difficulty. Yeah, it was difficult to get a little early this morning. Yeah, it was difficult to do something different in putting a Sunday school after worship. But Father, it is even more difficult to be challenged in these areas of idols that we hold on to. And Father, we pray now that you'll continue, or you'll start to break down walls, and just to realize that you are God, and Father, our security, our rest, our hope is in you. And Father, may we ask not how is this good for me, but how can I be used by my Creator and my Redeemer for your glory? If you're here this morning and you just need to spend some time praying about this issue, I know I've spent some time this week praying about this issue. I'm a human too. I struggle with this stuff too. Would you pray right now and say, God, would you break down walls of selfishness, break down walls of insecurity that are being held up by stuff and not God? Would you break down walls of faithlessness and build up walls of absolute trusting in Jesus? And if you don't know Christ here today, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation in just a moment. Would you come meet the Savior who has given it all so that I could stand here to say, if you'll come to him, you'll be saved. If you'll come to him, you'll have heaven as your home. If you'll come to him, your sin will be washed away, a place as far as the east is from the west. If you come to him, that's what he has done. We just sang, I'll never know how great the cost to see my sin upon that cross. You'll never know, but it was an infinite price. And now he's calling you to come. Father, may we come, and may we live for your glory. Pray in Jesus' name.